back at it. It's High School Football Weekly with Travis Wilson of Wisports.net. I'm Justin Hull. Week 9 of the high school season, conference championships on the line. Spent some time with that on the first half of the show, but now we turn to what's ahead in the postseason. And, you know, for Travis, for teams that aren't playing in a conference championship deciding game, playoffs the focus right now, and for a lot of teams too. You can even go back to last week, the playoffs starting for them, needing to win their last game or last two games just to get a shot at that Week 10 postseason.
And those teams that play de facto playoff games the last week or a couple weeks of the season oftentimes end up being the most dangerous teams once they get into the postseason, because they're already in that mode. They already have that mentality of, you know, we have to be as sharp as possible every single snap just to, like you said, get into the postseason. We do have an interesting scenario this year in terms of the playoffs, where my projections on Wisports.net before week 9, I had 9 teams finish under 500 in conference play and get into the playoffs. That's been a storyline the last several years, of course. We had 6 teams under 500 last year that got into the playoffs. But I see an opportunity anyway for a few more of those squads to get in this year. There's still a lot of variables, of course, a few games going differently than I projected or what you might think could certainly change that tide, but always interesting to see how many of those teams get in and which ones of those teams get in.
And with that number of 9, Travis, with what you're looking at, it pretty much guarantees that a team that finishes 500 that has that distinction of being eligible isn't going to be upset here at the end of week 9 when those when the playoff, you know, not the brackets but the playoff list comes out.
Correct. I have every team that finishes 500 in conference play getting in, and I think it's been like that for 3 or 4 years now. And then, again, it's just a matter of figuring out which teams finish under 500 will get into the playoffs. And remember that the WIA made a change last year where they give preferential treatment to the teams from the bigger conferences, basically your conference winning percentage. So if you're in a large conference like the FRCC, that's 10 teams, the Big 8, the Cloverwood, and you finish 4 and 5, you get in over teams that finished 3 and 4, for instance. So there's a lot that goes into that. And then a lot of tiebreakers that come into play as you try to figure out exactly which of the teams that finished 3 and 4 might get into the playoffs. And it gets to be crazy that final night of the regular season. That's where all that math comes in that I would prefer not to have to do, but it has to be done. And again, it makes it real exciting as we come down the stretch.
Well, Travis, let's talk about some of those games then to keep an eye on, some of those big time, hey, win and get in or playoff implications right there on the line. What stands out to you here in week 9?
Well, a few games that could sway things for a number of teams in a number of different ways. Wausau West is 3 and 4. They play at Appleton West. That's 4 and 3. So that's a borderline game that could go either way. Wausau West is playing very well late in the year, won 3 of their last 4. If they get a victory, they go to 500 and likely get in. And Wisconsin Rapids got some big news this week. They found out that Oshkosh West was going to have to forfeit an early victory this year. So Wisconsin Rapids all of a sudden goes from 2 and 5 and completely out of the playoffs to 3 and 4 and alive. They play Oshkosh North this week at home. And if they win, they likely get in. A few other games that could really impact things and go either way. Black River Falls at Westby, Janesville Parker, who's 3 and 5 at Madison West, Lakeland and Mozanie. Lakeland's 2 and 3, Mozanie is 3 and 2. Lakeland needs to win to get in. And then an interesting game, not necessarily going to determine who gets in, but divisional placements for sure. Milwaukee Career Tech is 2 and 3 at Milwaukee Vincent, who's 2 and 3 in the Milwaukee City Conference. One of those teams gets in, one of them is out. We know that. If Vincent gets in, they're a Division I team and push a lot of other teams down and could potentially impact the cut lines. Career and Tech Ed is likely a Division III team. If they get in, they push those cut lines up. So not only do we have to figure out, you know, who's going to impact who gets in the playoffs, but also the teams that get in will impact where other teams fall in divisional placement.
Yeah, kind of sticking on that point too, because last year I know that was a big thing heading into the last week of the regular season, because yeah, Kimberly, who, you know, a lot of people will argue was the best team in the state last year, ended up getting pushed to Division One. Are we looking at some key teams that are right there on the seesaw, Travis, that could go either way depending on how this plays out?
I don't see a scenario where Kimberly falls to Division Two. They're pretty solidly in Division One. The teams on that D1, D2 cut line, however, include Germantown and Chippewa Falls. Chippewa Falls has had a very nice season. D2 and D3 is where it really gets pretty interesting, where Greendale, I project them as the biggest team in D3. They could very easily be the smallest team in D2 like they were last year. Monona Grove is right on that cut line as well. And a team in the Fox Valley area, Freedom, right on the D3, D4 cut line, where I project them as the biggest team in D4. Depending on how things play out, they could end up in Division 3.
In your opinion, is there a division to division where it's the bigger, the bigger difference? Because I look at that Division 3 and Division 4 for a team like Freedom, and if they get to Division 4 versus Division 3, it really changes a lot of their projections.
I think Division 3 and Division 4 is the biggest difference of any of the divisions. Division 3 teams, a lot of them compete in large conferences from suburban areas where you might be playing against Division 2 and even Division 1 teams in the regular season. Whereas in Division 4, most of those teams are competing against teams like-sized or even a little bit smaller, where it's a D4, D5 conference. So the biggest jump, in my opinion, is going from 3 to 4, and that's why we rarely see teams that end up at the bottom of D3 get very far in the playoffs, even with great records, whether it's Lodi, who's been very good, but when they go to D3, get bumped a little bit earlier, teams like that. So, that's really where I think the biggest jump is, D3 and D4.
So if you're fans of those teams right there on the borderline, cheer for the higher enrollment schools, I guess, in those determining games to get the job done here tonight. Travis Wilson of Wisports.net. I'm Justin Hall. We'll step out, come back, and wrap things up for the regular season. Don't worry, we'll be back, playoff edition, next week. But the regular season comes to an end tonight. We have it covered here on High School Football Week.
Wisports.net is your home for high school sports in the state of Wisconsin, with news, data, and information you won't find anywhere else. Whether you're a casual fan looking for basic information like scores, rosters, stats, and schedules, or you want to go more in-depth with expert analysis, recruiting news, and preview information, we've got you covered. You can also find state rankings, historical information, and past season data going back more than 10 years. Wisports.net, your number one source for high school sports in Wisconsin.
Back one final time, our regular season finale edition of High School Football Weekly with Travis Wilson of Wisports.net. I'm Justin Hull. And Travis, as we wind things down, kind of a loaded question for you, because I know in the past few years we've had clear-cut favorites, teams that you really looked at, okay, this team is going to get down to Madison. You can say that with some confidence. Where's that question at this year? Are we seeing a little bit more parity across the board?
A little bit more parity, but it's a lot of the same names. I mean, you look at Division One, no doubt Kimberly and Arrowhead are everybody's top two in Division One. But I think Franklin is a team that really has a shot to kind of break up that domination by Kimberly and Arrowhead. Even a team like Fond du Lac, if things go right, I think can make some noise. In Division Five, I think that it's pretty clear Amherst and Arcadia are the two best teams in that division. They've just been blowing everybody away this year against pretty difficult schedules as well. The other divisions, I don't know if we can say that. There's some very, very good teams. I think some of the divisions are much deeper than they've been in the past, but maybe not as many dominant, elite, clear-cut. They're going to be in Madison. They're going to be a state title type of teams.
Here's one thing I'll be looking for once all this shapes out is what happens in Division One, where teams go, because we've seen Kimberly and Homestead when they were Division One a few years ago, number one and number two in everyone's eyes in the state. They got put in that same grouping. So does Kimberly go Northwest, Fond du Lac Northeast? How does that play out as well? And Franklin and Arrowhead in proximity there in the southeastern portion of the state. So all that stuff will be fun to watch. But Travis, again, give us a quick rundown of that timeline and, of course, how you guys are covering it all at wisports.net.
Well, it's a busy night. Make sure you check us out at wisports.net. Follow me on Twitter at TravisWSN to really get everything that's going on. Friday night, as games go final and we get all final scores in, we'll start working on the field and expect to have it out, the unofficial playoff field, around 10:30, most likely, depending on how many tiebreakers I have to go through. The WIA expects to have their official field out around 11:30. Last year it was closer to midnight. So you can find out the information on wisports.net before it's even official from the WIAA. Once they do get the official field, however, about 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, they will then have the regional groupings in place. Saturday morning at 11 a.m. are the seeding meetings. The coaches will get together and seed their regions. And We should see the brackets and first-round matchups then released early afternoon on Saturday. Again, you'll find all that information on wisports.net. And obviously, this is the time of year to follow and hit refresh often, as there's going to be new information coming out all the time. Look for playoff previews and all kinds of information on wisports.net next week as we get you all caught up on everything going on with the playoffs, because it really is a busy time, fun time, and really looking forward to this playoff run with a lot of great teams.
And we'll be back at it next week with a playoff edition of High School Football Weekly. He's Travis Wilson. I'm Justin Hull. Thanks for joining us, High School Football Weekly.
We asked kids what it took to be a dad. This is what they had to say.
A father is always present. I mean, what real father figure can you have if they're not there?
In order to be a good dad, you need to love your son. You need to put gas in your car so you don't break down in the middle of nowhere. And you need to make them breakfast. Yep.
I mean, just to maybe play like a board game with me, or to just stay home and play some video games with me. Just to do like that one little thing is what I really look forward to.
I'm not asking him to be a perfect dad, but he should try.
He's just a constant force in my life.
There's no other type of love like a dad's love, because it's not comparable to anything else.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.